Sport on Highland, brought to you by MichaelMurphySports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking to former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle, Harps assistant manager Paul Hegarty, and current Derry City boss Declan Devine in our League of Ireland Premier Division section. While later we'll hear from Donegal jockey Conor Orr, who had that fantastic third place finish in the Irish National, plus Donegal senior ladies manager Maxie Kern will also be on the programme. The ladies, of course, set to return to action on the weekend of the 23rd of May. And at Swift Gaelic Games, we begin the GAA today confirming that the Alliance Hurling Leagues would kickstart the association's roadmap on the second weekend in May. The football leagues are set to commence for the men a week later on the 15th and 16th of next month. Donegal and Tyrone will be grouped with Monaghan and Armagh in a regionalised league format, with the league final penciled in for the 19th and 20th of June. The Ulster and Provincial Championships will begin the following weekend, the last weekend in June, with the Ulster final marked for the weekend of the 31st of July, 1st of August. Championship will be straight knockout again in 2021, with no qualifiers and the Tailteann Cup on hold. The All-Ireland Football Final will be played on the weekend of the 28th and 29th of August. Neither London nor New York will be involved in the championship this year. No return date has been given for collective minor or under 20 inter-county training, as the current exemption only relates to senior level. The club championships will then start the first weekend in September. After a year absence due to the pandemic, the provincial club championships have been marked for a 20th of November return, and the All-Ireland Club Finals to be played in February 2022. A decision on the return to training for club football in the 26 counties will not be made until the go-ahead has been given by the government, which again still has last year's Donegal Senior Final in limbo on when the decider can be played. The National Hurling League start for the North West counties also in the second half of May, when in the championship, Donegal will defend their Nicky Rackard title this year. The final for that competition, which also includes Tyrone, is Sunday the 1st of August. That's the same weekend for the Christy Ring Cup final, which Derry hope to play in. Well, elsewhere on the Gaelic Games front today, Monaghan say football manager Seamus McEnany has apologised for a serious error of judgment. The county board has banned McEnany for 12 weeks after footage emerged from March of the squad engaged in a training session. The GAA are already said to be investigating, and Monaghan say they will cooperate and comply fully, with GAA President Larry McCarthy saying today that high profile breaches have hurt the association. Now on The Score, turning our attention to League of Ireland soccer. And the league leaders, Finn Harps, are back at Finn Park on Saturday when they take on Waterford United in the Premier Division in what will be their second home fixture of the campaign. Harps have had a tremendous start to the year with two wins and a draw, whereas Derry have struggled with two opening defeats. Ahead of the next series of games this weekend, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle has been assessing top flight Irish football with Highlands' Dermot Doherty.
Fantastic start, yeah, absolutely. It's been a great start for everybody. I mean, just gives everybody a buzz around Donegal, the fact that we're sitting on top of the table in 7 points, and nobody would have predicted that at the start of the season, particularly because we played Bowes at home, beat them obviously, and where we done Dock, beat them as well, and then got a draw. We had a draw, so three massive games and a big 7 points, and sitting on top of the table along Sligo Rovers and St Pat's. And who would have fancied three teams to be on top of the table at this early stage?
I think already we can safely say, Declan, there aren't going to be any easy games in this Premier Division this season, going by the results so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year probably Cork City was in the first run of games were beaten by most teams, and they were probably the whipping boys of the league. But this year, I mean, we thought that Longford might struggle. We thought that Drogheda obviously strengthened well, that they might struggle as well. But two teams have come up and they've done excellent. They've got really positive results. And so there's no easy games. I mean, Bowes are sitting on 1 point, Dundalk are sitting on 1 point. So that tells you how difficult it has been. And that's a credit to all the teams coming up. But also, it just shows you the quality of the league as well, that every team is strengthened. And there's no easy games, especially away from home.
Well, the games this weekend, they're coming thick and fast, Declan. And again, some big matches. Hearts against Waterford is the one we'll look at first. We're going to have full match commentary on Highland on Saturday evening, a 6 o'clock start, one of three games on Saturday night. And after such a good start, Declan, you'd like to think Hearts can keep that good run going, although Waterford, it won't be easy.
No, it won't be an easy match. You're hopeful that a home form and the fact that Waterford haven't beaten Finn Harps and Finn Park in a long time. I'm not exactly sure. I think it might be 10 years or so. So it's a, obviously a big game for both clubs. Kevin Sheedy's come in at Waterford, I suppose, come in late. Took in a lot of players as well, and they're just bedding in. What I've seen of them, I've seen the game against Sligo Rovers, and I thought they're very competitive. And probably at 1-0, they had a chance to, Keane Cavan had a chance to make it 2-0. Sligo Rovers made a good save, and then obviously the Sligo scored two wonder goals that on the night. And last week they come up and beat Derry as well in the Brandywell 2-1, and that's doesn't not too many teams do that. So that just shows the quality. They're getting better. Kevin Sheedy's will do an excellent job. And they will strengthen again in July. So, but they've got a really young team. They've also got a good bit of experience as well. And they're going to be difficult to obviously overcome. But Harps are at home. Harps are in a good run of form. And they're difficult to play against. And we're hoping that we can get off to a good start again at home. We have already got 3 points against Bowes. We need to get another 3 points against Waterford. And that'll keep us up at the top of the table and get into another next week matches against Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, Waterford, as you say, Kevin Sheedy in charge along with Mike Newell now. They had a long trip to Derry last weekend, Declan. They're coming back up to the northwest again. They must be wondering what's the story with all these journeys.
Yeah, definitely. That's the worst thing with the League of Ireland. I don't miss that, is travelling up and down the country. But when you've got two of your worst journeys back to back, which is a wee bit unfair, but that's the way the fixtures are laid. But listen, they're going to come positive. Big result, obviously. The performances were happening good. I mean, they lost obviously to Drogheda 1-0 with an OG late in the game. They lost 2-1 to Sligo Rovers. They've beaten Derry 2-1. So they've come in. They're scoring goals, obviously, and they're a threat, and it depends on how it goes. You know, I mean, what crucial, I suppose, the Hearts' performances have been that they've scored first in all games. And you know, the way they're set up, they're defensively very good, excellent without the ball. And if they score first again, I'd be looking for 3 points against Waterford.
The injury problems have been there at Harps since day one, Declan, with those injuries picked up in the match against Bowes. There's going to be no Ryan Connolly, no Connor Barry. Mark Timlin is also a long-term injury victim at Finn Park. So the good thing is Horgan and Paul Hegarty have been able to bring in quality replacements for the game since.
Yeah, that's been noticeable this year. Jeremy, as you know yourself, the squad has been strengthened. There's good numbers. There's good capacity in the players. They can play in a number of positions as well. And the players that have come in have done excellent. And that's the great thing about it is, I suppose down through the years, we probably didn't have that squad. This year, Ollie has put together a really competitive squad and they're fighting for places. So when players get an opportunity to come in, they've got to make the mark and they will do that. Obviously, Ryan Connolly was excellent against Bowes and he picked up a hamstring injury. So hopefully he'll be back in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Connor Barry got injured in his first match and that was disappointing obviously him, but he'll hopefully recover very quickly. Mark Tomlin, obviously disappointed to see him because I think he would be in a welcome addition. In fact, he's just been plagued with injuries and better, been very unlucky. But the players have come in, have been brilliant. And we're looking for the same again and that's the key this year. I think the squad's a lot better than it was previously.
And it was interesting as well that Sligo Rovers and Harps got together and organised this friendly earlier this week. Declan, it's not something you see all that much happening, you know, in the middle of a season. Perhaps it's because there's no League Cup competition this year and it offered the chance for both clubs to give a run out to players who haven't been featuring all that much so far.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, both squads are strong. Sligo was strengthened significantly this year and they've got really good quality players. And the problem is sometimes when you're not getting game time in the first team, it's very difficult to keep your match fitness. You can train as much as you want, but you do want to get your match fitness, and that's crucial. So when you do get the opportunity to come into the first team, then that you're match sharp and you're ready to go, because that jump can be quite a large step if you're not match fitness. So I suppose both managers have been smart. They're fighting a friendly match on a Monday night, and that gives the players that weren't playing, like I think Sean Boyd scored and Steve Fulham played as well. And so the number, obviously, a lot of the young lads will play as well. So it's good experience for the young lads, but more importantly for the lads that are hopefully maybe coming in to play in a match on Friday night, that they have that, you know, 90 minutes behind them, and that helps them towards their match fitness.
Well, still no supporters allowed into these games, Declan, and that's the way it's going to be for a while yet, I would say. And you could only imagine the showgrounds would be rocking on Saturday night. Sligo Rovers welcoming Shamrock Rovers to town. Another big game for Sligo, and they've enjoyed an impressive start.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, we talked about it before, Dermot. I think that they've strengthened probably as well as anybody in the league this year. They've brought in players that have experience of the league as well, so it's not something new to them. So that obviously adds to them. They've brought in players at the top end of the pitch. And what's Romeo Parks obviously scored a wonder goal there down in Waterford, but he's a real threat again. Gary Buckley scored a header in Longford where they beat Longford 1-0. They just scored over the line. But yeah, so the players, you know, Figueroa came in there as well. He came on sub against Longford. So they have players at the top end of the pitch. Young Johnny Kenny, who played along against us in the under-17s, and I was the manager, and he's starting to come. He's an 18-year-old. 17 coming 18 is son of Johnny Kenny, who played for Sligo Rovers and obviously Finn Harps for years, and a really top guy. And Johnny came through the Emerging Talent Programme with myself down in Castlebar, but he's a really good player. So he's a good prospect, probably potentially go across the water. But so he's been up there as well. So they have really good players top end of the pitch. They can stretch and cause you problems. And defensively, they're very good as well.
The final game on Saturday night then is a meeting of the two clubs who have come up this season, Declan, from the First Division. And Longford Town and Drogheda can be both pretty happy with the start that they have made.
Yeah, they have. I mean, both managers would be more than happy with what they've got so far. They've got points on the board. You know, you're afraid probably in the first match that you might get a thumping. And you just don't know what to expect from your players. But well, I suppose, obviously, Longford themselves, they overturned Derry City up in Longford with a 2-0 victory and a big performance and very good. And considering that they've only have seven starters against Derry City that came through the First Division, so they didn't add that much. That was surprisingly, I thought that they would struggle, but the players that have come up in the First Division have done excellent for them. Will they sustain that long term? That's the big question. Drogheda have strengthened with numbers and also experience as well, and they've got off to a good start. And you know, listen, Harps got out of there, won each there last week, but that will be a difficult place to go. And Drogheda will be obviously expecting probably to maybe, I think, tip Longford. But Longford would have been my tip at the start of the season to get relegated. But at this stage, you just don't know. But it's a long way to go, a lot of games to play. And regarding that match, I think they'll end up with a draw. They'll be very tight. They played each other three times probably last year as well, and that's probably so they know each other inside out. But yeah, Drogheda's a lot more changes in Drogheda's squad than the Longford. Whether that will benefit on match day, I'm not sure.
And as you say, Longford opening their campaign with that one against Derry. Derry haven't really got going, have they, Declan? They face some difficult fixtures in the next few weeks. They've got Shamrock Rovers in that rearranged game coming up. And on Friday night, it's St. Pat's down in Dublin. That's the first game of the five fixtures this weekend, and it's going to be a big night for Derry. They really need to start picking up points somewhere.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. I mean, it's not the start that Declan Devine probably wanted or the supporters wanted, but what it does do is put pressure on them straight away. I mean, obviously, going up to St. Pat's. St. Pat's are changed. They're a lot better than they were last year. So that's going to be a really difficult match, and he has to get points on the board from somewhere. He has to get a draw potentially up there. Now, down through the years, I always find that Derry done really well up in St. Pat's and got results. So that might be a good place for them to start. Can they get a draw just to stop the rot of losing games? Potentially wise, they have good players. They just need a bit more confidence. Obviously, the squad is a bit depleted from last year. They don't have strength in numbers. Their bench is a lot weaker than it was, and so they don't have players that can come in and change the game. So they need to get a result from somewhere. Can they get it on Friday night? I'm not so sure, but I mean, they have Shamrock Rovers after that as well at home. So that's going to be two massive games for Declan. And you know, the last thing he needs now is a big defeat, you know, against St. Pat's.
Yeah, and St. Pat's, if they avoid defeat against Derry, they will move clear at the top of the table. And at the other end, and we say that about Dundalk and Bowes, we don't say it too often, they meet at Oriel Park on Friday night, Declan. Both teams, just a bit like Derry, haven't really got going so far this season. They've faced tricky fixtures, and Bowes back on the road after that defeat last weekend. Can they get something from Oriel Park? They would love to.
Yeah, it's a big match for both teams. Bowes, you know, obviously we've done live commentary, German, as you know, and Bowes made a lot of changes, and their squad And they just haven't clicked as a unit yet. The shape has changed. Last year they played 4-4-3-3. This year they changed to a three centre halves and then five around the middle and then obviously two up top. So with a 1-1 probably. And that's how they played. They had two-0 up against Longford at home and Daly Martin. They ended up giving two late goals away. So that's been really difficult for them. Obviously lost last week as well. So they're under a lot of pressure. Keith Long obviously needs to get a result. Can he go to Oriel Park and pull out another big result? Concerned that Dundalk obviously played Hearts in their first home match and they obviously they lost that one. So they're under pressure. So both teams are under pressure for a result. It's going to be really interesting how this pans out over the 19 minutes. But, I mean, it's a big match for both clubs.
Okay, so Hearts against Waterford on Saturday night, Declan. And this is in a week when Hearts received this great news in relation to the new stadium in Stranorder, the funding confirmed by the department at government level. So nice little boost during what's been a bright start to the season.
Yeah, great news, wasn't it? I'm delighted to hear that news coming through. As you say, it's your top of the table and you get that kind of news. Obviously, it's only three matches into it, so we're not getting carried away, obviously. But yeah, great news for everybody, great news for the club. I know there's a lot of work. There's a committee there that have worked tirelessly trying to get that money over the line. And there's been obviously a lot of political power as well and pressure put on to get that funding. Welcome to the club, obviously. And I suppose we're all aware of down through the years there were some false dawns in regards to funds. So hopefully this will go and we'll see progress and we'll see the stadium start to be built. And this is what the club needs. The supporters need a new stadium. And I suppose the Donegal soccer community deserve to have a good facility where they can go and watch national matches at a very high standard and in the comfort. So interesting time. Delighted, obviously, the news. But, I mean, let's see how this pans out. I know there's obviously, I think the overall project cost is $6 million. So there's a bit of money to be got to soften up that gap from $5 million. So, but listen, really interesting and great news for the club. And let's hopefully now this will move the stadium a bit closer to completion.
Okay, Declan, thanks a million for that. Three big games for the three Northwest clubs this weekend, again, on what promises to be another great weekend of football action in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Derry at St. Pat's on Friday night, and then on Saturday night it's Sligo against Shamrock Rovers, and our feature game on Highland Radio on Saturday evening will be Harps against Waterford at Finn Park. Declan, you'll be with me on commentary for that one, and we can look forward to what hopefully will be another good game.
Absolutely, can't wait. Yeah, it's a big performance and hopefully another 3 points and we stay top of the table.
Former Harps captain Declan Boyd and Highlands Jeremy Doherty in conversation about this weekend's games. As we know, Harps, of course, will look to maintain their push at the top of the Premier Division and keep that unbeaten run going against Waterford on Saturday. The Ballybuffet side have taken 7 points from an available opening nine, and they share top spot with Sligo Rovers and St. Pat's. With three games into the season, what has assistant manager at Finn Harps, Paul Hegarty, been impressed with so far?
Defensively, pretty strong. We look like at the moment that we're a threat going forward, and probably the fact that we have 7 points on the board is a massive boost.
Yeah. 7 points from three games, and in all three games probably deserve the results that you've got.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that. Although, like you could say as well, like those three games could have went either way. You know, they were close games, and that. But I think the fact that we were brave and we had a go in those games, I think we probably deserved what we got out of the three games. But it'll be a different game against Waterford on Saturday night. Like, people will be expecting us to win on that, and are we comfortable with that? We'll find out on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it says a lot as well, Paul, the fact that Harps suffered a couple of key injuries in the first game, but you were able to bring in players of quality to come in and do a job.
Yeah, that's why you have a squad, like, to be fair. And to be fair, the players that come in have done well. And there are other players there at the minute chopping the butt to try and get a place in the team. And that's the way you want it.
Yeah. He's probably tempted to go with the same 11 again for the Waterford match after a couple of good performances.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we played a friendly on Monday and there were maybe three or four players on Monday that probably stood out and probably stayed the claim. So we've changed things around a wee bit and training that and had a look at other people in different positions and that, and there may be a few changes come Saturday night.
Did it surprise you that Waterford were able to recover after two defeats, Paul, and come up to Derry and win and play well?
No, not really, to be honest with you. I've watched their games back and that, and I think they could count themselves very, very unlucky not to get a point in Drogheda. And probably if they had a beat Sligo at home where they lost, I don't think anybody could have argued with the chances they had. They had a great chance at 1-0 up to go 2-0 up and probably killed the game off. But those are the fine lines, you know, in that league, and that, and they probably would have been hurting after that. And to be fair, they probably got what they deserved, didn't they?
Yeah. And a couple of familiar faces in the dugout as well then on Saturday night with Kevin Sheedy and Mike Newell involved now. First taste of League of Ireland football for them.
Yeah, to be fair, like John Sheridan came in last year and he done a great job at Waterford and that. And we won't expect anything different from these boys. These boys have been around a long time. They've played at the highest level and they've managed at a good level as well in that, you know, and they're no mugs and they'll be coming here with a plan on Saturday night and we know how tough the game's going to be, but we need to be ready for that.
Yeah, and up to Harps to continue this good record that you have at Finn Park, making life difficult for visiting teams.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Like you've got to try and pick up points at home. We didn't do that well last year, you know, early on after the break and that. We struggled really badly to create opportunities and that. But you would hope, you know, at the minute the players probably are in decent form. Although I don't think we played well enough and Drogheda, they won the match in that. But, you know, at the minute, everything looks okay. As you said, with a few long-term injuries and that, which hasn't helped any. And that, you know, like Ryan Connolly and Conor Barry and Mark Timmon that are out long-term and that. And that's a really disappointing thing.
Harps number two. Paul Higgerty. Well, Derry City are on the road tomorrow evening, Friday. They travel to Inchicore to take on St Pat's, with the visitors still searching for their first league points of the season. Declan Devine will be without defender Darren Cole, who has a back injury, but insists the rest of the squad are fit and raring to go against Stephen O'Donnell's team. Losses against Longford and Waterford will have definitely hurt the Foilsiders, but the Derry boss insists the confidence hasn't been affected in his current young squad.
It's been a tough couple of weeks for us. The result down in Longford was utterly disappointing. The result against Waterford was equally as disappointing, but the performance against Waterford wasn't as bad as the result. Waterford had three shots on target, came away with the 3 points, scored two. So we're disappointed in the goals we've been giving away, Oisín, but we also have full faith in the group of players that, you know, it is a very young squad. It's a new squad again, which you have to tend to do every season. But ultimately, we've came up short in the two games. But we know that there's more in our locker, and we know that we're capable of much better performances than what we served up to date.
But Declan, as you said, you made a lot of changes headed into the season. And when you do things like that, it does take a bit of time for situations and teams and things to come together and acclimatise to what really is a very, very tough league, sort of.
Oh, really, as this season, you know, you only have to look at the results. You see the way the table has panned out over the first couple of games. But look, we totally knew where we were going in terms of our recruitment. We wanted to go more Irish based. We wanted to go more local young players that are going to be at the football club for a long period of time. So look, we played Waterford last week. We lost the game, but we had 14 shots on target, you know, and that just tells you the general gist of the game. We gave away two very poor goals, but you know, it's a team game, and we've got to perform in both boxes better than what we did last week. But as you say, look, it is a new group of players, but at the same time, that every club's the same. Every club has a massive turnover of players in this league, and it's the teams that settle very quickly, Oisín, that'll get the best results. And I have no doubt there's good results around the table, because I work with this bunch of players on a daily basis, and I know how hungry they are. I know how good they are technically, and you know, it's just a matter of time that we gel and we hopefully get a few ones under our belt.
Yeah, so no panic button's been pressed yet then, Declan?
No, listen, look, we've got to take our criticism. The two performances, the two results weren't good enough. The performance in Longford wasn't good enough. The performance last week on any other week, you would win the game, but ultimately we came up short. So it does bring a bit of pressure, there's no doubt about it. But at the same time, I have every belief. We've got a lot of talented young players in the group. You know, we brought Danny Lapano back with Owen Toole, who I made captain this year. Nathan Gertzheim was called up as senior international squad in Northern Ireland. Cameron McCann's as good a centre-back as there is. You fly through that, then you've got the likes of Jack Malone. You know, you've got players there like Will Patching, David Parkhouse, James Atkinson. So there is a real good quality within the squad, and now hopefully we can hit the ground running and try and get a few results on there, Bell Doshi.
Yeah, one man you didn't mention in there was Owen Toole. He's going to hit the 100 mark on Friday night.
Brilliant. He's been a brilliant servant. You know, it's hard to believe that he's only coming 22 years of age. He seems to be about forever. I made him captain this year because of his ability, both on and off the pitch. He's such a likeable, driven player. He's got bags and bags of talent. And look, as far as I'm concerned, Owen Toole has the potential to go as far as Owen Toole wants to go in the game. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how he evolves this year with the added responsibility of being captain of the club. And I've no doubt that he'll take it really well. So delighted that he's hitting the 100 mark. But there's no doubt that young fella's career is only getting up and going.
Yeah, nice way to mark that would be to get the first one of the season on Friday. How do you go about beating St. Patrick's Athletic then, Declan, if you're going to do that?
Well, we have to understand that they have spent well in the summer. They've got a midfield three of Lennon, Forrester and Benson. That's as good as anything in the country. Lee Desmond at the back is, in my opinion, one of the top centre-backs in Ireland. And then they've signed Ronan Coughlin as well, who has been a handful in the league for a number of years. So we're under no illusions. We get down there. The first and foremost, we have to start giving away the goals, obviously, that we've given away in the two games previous. You know, we made it really easy for our opposition by handing them soft opportunities to punish us. So, you know, if we can nullify the threat of giving away something soft, I have no doubt that we can get down here and be very, very attack-minded and go and have a go at them, because, look, it's the nature of this league. The team that turns up on the night is usually the team that wins the 3 points.
Yeah, two difficult games against two Dublin clubs to come. Pats on Friday and then obviously next Tuesday against the champion Shamrock Rovers. Just finally then, Declan, are these two games that you can get something out of?
We have to believe you can in every game. I think, you know, you have to look at some of the surprise results that's gone on within the league already. We have to make sure that, you know, our sole focus is making sure we bring everything to the table. I know Shamrock Rovers are coming Tuesday, but that couldn't be any further from our mind. We've got to go to Inchicore tomorrow night. We've got to make sure we put on a performance that is full of aggression, that's full of an ability to try and take the game on. You know, we don't want to get down here and just be hanging on by the skin of our teeth. We want to get down here and have a right fight at it and have a right go at them and see how good they are. And I'm sure they'll ask how good we are. And, you know, really go hammer and tongs to try and get those 3 points.
Derry manager Declan Devine speaking to me earlier today. And just a reminder, on the League of Ireland front, that this coming weekend, Finn Harps against Waterford at Finn Park in the Premier Division will be live on Highland. 6 o'clock is the kick-off time on Saturday, and we will have full live match commentary here with Dermot Doherty and, of course, Declan Boyle. Now to horse racing. Donegal jockey Conor Orr is hoping to build on his third place finish in the Irish Grand National. In what was his first ride in the Irish Jump Showpiece, the Ballyar man was placed on board 40-1 shot Enjoy Delan. Speaking to me this week from the yard of trainer Kieran Murphy, Conor was far from disappointed with his placed finish on Easter Monday at Ferry House.
That was brilliant. Sure, everyone just likes to be in them races, and to be in the first three or four is even better again. I know there'll be a lot of people hoping to be in the same shoes as me now, getting the chance to do it. So I'm very grateful for it all.
Tell us about the horse, Enjoy Delan, and your relationship with the horse, Conor.
Yeah, we've had a good season now. I've ridden him 5 times now. Won on him the first twice, second on him twice, and third then on Monday. So he's been good to me anyway.
Certainly, you have a good partnership there, so you do. Tell us about the race on Monday. You rode it very well, so you did it tactically. It was good from you, Conor.
Yeah, the main thing is kind of over the first few fences to be as near the front as possible and try and just stay out of danger of the rest of the horses. But it went very well for me. I got a lovely position with plenty of space, and to be fair, it just went very straightforward.
Was there any nerves going into Monday for you? Because obviously it's the first time that you've been in one of the big races here in Ireland.
I can't say that it was, no. I'd be very laid back now, which helps. And to me, I thought he had a good chance, even though he was a big price. So it was all more confidence rather than nerves.
Yeah, it was all about the days of big prices, so it was. And you have to give Ricky Doyle a lot of credit. And Freewheeling Dillon pulled off a serious shock result.
He did. He was the outsider of the whole field, and he done it the hard way out in front of everything. So, fair play to him.
So, tell us maybe about your day. You're in the yard of Kieran Murphy, and you've got to enjoy Delan alongside you there.
Yeah.
What's your typical day down there?
So when I'm in Cairns here 2 days a week, leave the house kind of 6:30, get here for probably just after 7:30, 8:15, and then it's just riding different horses all day, probably sit on maybe 7 or 8 a day here, finish kind of around 1 o'clock, and then it's either go and ride more somewhere else or go and have a horse or two of my own there as well to do. So
you're also attached to Lorraine Fowler as well, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in there 2 days a week as well, so she's good. We had a 3rd place and a good race for her on Sunday as well, so it's been a good weekend really for the yards I'm attached to.
Yeah, so you're keeping very busy. This is your 2nd year, obviously, and there's no slow work. It's all fast-paced stuff, is it?
It's pretty much go all year round. We get probably about 10 days break between seasons, and then it's all go again. But it's great. I can't complain now with the way that everything is, that I get to go outdoors and do my job still.
Obviously, you're the brother of Oisin, and Oisin has won the St. Ledger. He won one of the big 5 classics, and yeah, he's achieved a dream of his. You're the jump jockey, so you are. He likes the fun stuff. You've got a taste of what it's like now to be in the top placings in the Grand National, obviously the Irish Grand National, so I'm sure that's a target of yours in years to come.
Yeah, well, ever since I started riding over jumps, I've always kind of been trying to get a winner in the bigger races, but I think every jump jockey would love to win either an Irish or even an English national.
I suppose the 3rd place finish in the national, is that your biggest result so far?
It's probably the first time I've been beat where I haven't been disappointed when I passed the line, yeah. Normally, I don't like finishing 2nd or 3rd, but I would have taken that any day, yeah.
Yeah. Funny, I was listening to Rachel Blackmore speaking recently, and it's been a huge year for Rachel, but she's been at it a few years, finishing 2nd and 3rds, and yeah, she says all you have to do is keep racing, yeah, and it will eventually come.
If you keep your head down and work hard, surely it'll pay off someday, and that's what my aim is, to just keep working, and hopefully it'll pay off one of the day soon.
When you were a young jockey, who were the jockeys that you looked up to? Who were the star performers that you thought to yourself, Connor, that wouldn't mind at the top of the tree alongside one of these guys?
I suppose AP McKay is the one everyone looked up to. He was just the best at everything, and on the flat, I suppose Pat Mullen as well. Unfortunately passed away, but I always was close to him whenever I worked in the yards. I always was there with him, and he taught me a lot along the way too.
Just before we go, Connor, the English National is obviously this coming weekend, a race that you'll be watching very, very closely. Who are you tipping for this one?
I suppose the favourite, he seems to be improving this year, of John Joe Neils. But you can only tip a horse, but it's a lot of luck as well. You need there's a lot of fences and a lot of horses, so whatever, but same as Irish National, it could be a complete outsider as well that wins it.
Is that where you'd like to be someday in Atrian, Grand National Day?
I'll take it any day, yeah. Any big race, I'll be happy to be front passing the line.
Brilliant stuff indeed from young Donegal jockey Conor Orr. And finally, we go back to Gaelic Games. Maxi Kerr now has a date for the Donegal Senior Ladies to get back to competitive action. As we know, the men's GAA confirmed their dates on the roadmap today. However, the LGFA were the first Gaelic Games body this week to confirm a return date, with the league set to begin on May 23rd. Donegal are in Division 1A with Galway, Mayo and Westmeath. Donegal senior manager Maxi Kern now has a target to aim for with his Donegal side.
We were very thankful last week to get the return to training date, you know, confirmed for the 19th. We're probably, everybody was a wee bit hopeful that it might have been a wee bit earlier. You know, we thought maybe the 5th, you know, at worst the 12th. So we were kicked back to the 19th. But look, as I say, it's great to have that, you know, date on our crosshairs now. And we have and then the 23rd after that. So look, we've got 5 weeks from when we get back, 4 weekends and 5 full weeks. So we're really looking forward to it.
Is 5 weeks enough? Do you think maybe you could, that could have been brought forward?
Yeah, it would appear like that the men's league will be finished up, you know, before the women. And I know the men have set their stall out that they're going to go straight into the championship set after the league. So it doesn't appear that the LGFA are going to do that. So look, we're a wee bit up in the air from that perspective. But look, at the same time, we're really glad to get back. Where, you know, it's been a long winter. I've said it before, inter-county footballers, just by their nature, are athletes that train 12 months of the year. So, you know, they have continued to train the whole time, you know, individually and that, and doing different programs, and which they would have done all the time through all their, you know, their off season. So it's no different. So it's been a long running, and as I say, we're thankful now to have something to aim for, and you know, it's not that far away.
Are you happy with the format? Galway, Mayo and Westmeath, three teams similar to the men, sort of regionalised, or as regionalised as you can get for the ladies in Division 1A. Is it a format that you're happy with, Maxi, or could you tinker with it in your view?
I know. Look, I think you have to accept, you know, the lie of the land as it is currently. You know, I think the men have got a tougher hand. They're going to play a kind of a mini Ulster League, which is also the case in Division 2 for the ladies. There's a Division 2B is Monaghan, Armagh, Tyrone, and Cavan all in the one section. So, you know, we're probably happy enough to be away from that grouping, because you'll be meeting them in the championship down the line. In terms of the two teams we did get, Mayo and Galway, both under new management, so both are going to come with a real bang to start with. You would imagine, you know, they'll be trying out new players will be trying to impress management. So, you know, I think it's a great place for us to start. We also have Westmeath, who have beat us last year in the league, and, you know, have caused us plenty of problems over the last number of years. So it's a good competitive start, and you know, whether we have one home, one away, one neutral, God only knows. But, you know, it's just a real positive to get, you know, to get matches at this stage. As I was saying, it's been a long couple of months, and, you know, girls are having to do everything through GPS and one thing or another. So it's just a case now of getting back on the field together and trying to form some kind of a team for the 5 weeks' time.
No word of championship yet, Maxi?
No, it's all up in the air. Look, the men have set their stall out, that they're going split season, all county first, and then straight into the club. The LGFA had planned originally to, you know, have a club window in the middle of the summer, similar to last year. That was probably left a wee bit up in the air with the COVID situation lasting a wee bit longer than people had anticipated. So we just don't know. There's been no confirmation or no a lead in at all, I suppose, of what might happen. But look, the nature and the fact that it's taken so long to run the league off, and that there will be 2 to 3 weeks behind the men, you would have to think that, you know, there is probably a split season coming for the ladies.
That's something you don't agree with, is it?
No, not really. No, I think it's look, the men generally get these things right, you know, and they have decided that the split season's the way to go. You know, I think it's fair on county players, and I know people will say county players are the 2% and the 98% of the club players, but I think that everybody's happy when everybody's all on board in the one go. You know, they're doing, you know, focusing on one team. This chopping and changing is very tough. You know, county players tend to focus on county activity while it's happening, and, you know, they're having to spread themselves across the two, and it can be problematic, and it's just like it's tough on the players. You know, you'll see the when the inter-county season ends, the men, the guys go, you know, full hog into the clubs, and it makes for a very good club championship. And, you know, when the girls are having to look over their shoulder and watch out for one thing and, you know, wait for another, it's just not ideal, and I think it makes for a better system. I also feel that by putting a club window in the middle of the summer, you're really condensing the opportunity for club football to have a meaningful season. You know, you're probably going to get, you know, 8, 10, 12 weeks to play a full year's football. Whereas if they done what the men are doing and played a split season, play the county off, which is a shorter season, there's less games required. You know, you could have the whole thing wrapped up by July, early August, and the clubs could have their 4 or 5 months to run a really meaningful year. And, you know, I think of any year, I think that's needed more this year more than any other year. But look, that doesn't appear to be the case. You know, you'll probably have a club championship, and then you'll have another county window for the All Ireland series, and whoever wins the the local championships will have to hang about for, you know, 8 or 12 weeks before they go into a provincial championship, which just leaves an awful lot of hanging about for an awful lot of people. And I just think maybe the men's system might have been better. Just play it all, bang, bang, bang. County teams are ready to go. County players have trained away, as I say, you know, all through this. And, you know, they're ready to start. They probably don't even need the 5 weeks. You know, it's probably the managers that need the 5 weeks to, you know, to plan their tactics and one thing and another and form the team. But, you know, players, I think, are ready to go. There's an awful lot of learning from lockdown last year. And I think, you know, the physios and the medics and the S&C people have learned a lot and have probably prepared people better this time than they would have done last time. So I think, you know, county players are ready to go. And, you know, you could have had a county season completely wrapped up in July, but I don't think that's going to be the case for the girls.
Yeah. Is that the general consensus amongst managers and ladies football? Because I know you'd be talking to a few of them regularly, Max. Is that the general feeling that maybe the LGFA is getting this wrong this time around?
Aye, well, look, it's not maybe right to say they're getting it wrong, but I just think it's not the best route to go. They are, look, your people are hanging about. The county teams have been together. There's no point in saying that they haven't. You know, they have been training away. They've had their programmes. You know, clubs are really only starting to get going. And I think there would have been an opportunity to go, as I say, the same way the men have gone and just get it wrapped up nice and early and allow a proper, and, you know, it's ironic that they say that it's for the betterment of club football, whereas I actually think that's the opposite is the case, you know, where you're having to cram it into such a short period of time, whereas, you know, if they let it go towards the end, they would have the full, you know, late summer, for all of autumn to play whatever club football they want to play. And I say it's probably needed now more than any other year. You know, there's been so much development loss for younger players, both male and female, that, you know, I think they would have needed they could have benefited from a much larger chunk of time to play. But it's going to be intersected now with the club, the county going first, then the club, and then back to county and then back to club. So you can imagine it's quite messy for players that are playing, you know, a county football and club football, and they're, you know, they're having to chop and change, and, you know, you'll have club teams training without county players, and then you'll have, you know, it's just not ideal. I just think it's messy, and I think that would be a consensus that it's better if the whole lot had it just been played one block of one and then one block of the other. Like the WGPA would have done a survey early in the year and players would have voted that they wanted a split season. They didn't care which came first. They were happy not to play club first and county after, but they just would have preferred not to have the crossover. I think there was a 70% vote in favour of splitting the season up one way or other. People didn't have a preference which went first. They just wanted to have it split up, you know. So, but look, it is what it is. We just got to get on with it, you know.
Well, listen, your immediate focus now is getting the league up and running. Galway, Mayo and Westmeath. You've formulated your squad. I know it's early doors yet on this, Maxi, but you're trying to get a squad together to be competitive when championship does come round, and obviously you've got the league as well. So where are you at with the squad at the moment? Has there been any of, I suppose, the household names that we know still available for this year? And are you going to have new additions in as well? So where are you at squad-wise at the moment, Maxi?
Well, we I've lost a couple from last year. There's a few guys that will not be with us. Yvonne Boner won't be with us, or Ciara Hegarty, who's living outside the county. She would have travelled from Kerry last year up twice a week to play and train for us, you know, throughout the championship. It was a massive commitment. So, you know, those girls aren't going to be around. So it's going to give an opportunity to a few of the younger girls. But look, we still have a very experienced squad, you know, the likes of, you know, the Katie Hearns and the Karen Guthries and the Sheridan McLaughlins. These kind of people are still around, and, you know, they bring great experience to the camp. And then we have a couple of younger girls that have come in over the last number of years that, you know, maybe haven't had the chance to play. Last year was very fragmented. You know, we only had the two games, and one of them was a dead rubber at the end of the year. So, you know, there hasn't been, as I mentioned earlier, that chance for development. But look, we do hope to bring in a couple of players that we would have maybe seen in last year's club championship that maybe wouldn't have got a run at that stage. But we're hoping, you know, the likes of Shauna McFadden and St. Unions and, you know, these kind of people will definitely get a run at it this year. So we know we're close. We know we're not far away. We know, probably been saying that every year for the last 4 years, but, you know, we would have got a lot of out of the Dublin game last year. You know, we probably weren't as brave or courageous as we should have been in the first half, but we showed in the second half. And, you know, apart from showing to anybody else, but the girls probably show to themselves that they're able to go toe-to-toe with the Dublins, and, you know, they don't fear anybody, and, you know, they have to just bring that for 60 minutes. But I think that belief is there that, you know, whether we are really close and with a couple of tweaks here and there and a couple of additions to the playing personnel, and, you know, I think we're definitely up there with the best of them.
Yeah, no Ulster for you last year, given the circumstances that we were in and the way they ran the competition. So you want to get back there and get that title again, Max? I take it in 2021.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's a competition that we have a great record in recent times. You know, we haven't lost a game since 2016, and you know, we're very proud of that, and we'd hope to get, you know, that competition back running again. But again, it's you know, it's a bit up in the air as to where that's going to fit in. You know, they can run the All-Ireland series completely independent of the provinces, which they showed last year. So, you know, do they do that again? Do they push the provincial back to the back end of the year? Do they try and take probably the 12 weeks are required to run a provincial championship and an All-Ireland? Do they go that road? So, look, it's just a bit up in the air at the minute. But no, look, it's a competition that we would love to, you know, really love to get another crack at. As we've had a great record, and you know, they've lost one match since 2014. And you know, won three in a row before last year, and we just the ball didn't bounce for us last year in terms of preparing. The competition was a wee bit of a disaster, and that, you know, you headed for a final and you and Armagh who were able to train and you and Monaghan who weren't allowed to train for a month before the final. So, you know, it was just a bit messy. Also, it's only province that was played and there's only three teams in it. So it wasn't you know, it's not something we're getting caught up on, but we would definitely love a crack to get that title back.
Donegal Ladies Senior Manager Maxie Kern bringing an end to another edition of The Score. If you missed any of the show, you can of course recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com, or indeed check out any of our social media channels as well. Our next sport is with Chris Ashmore tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of it, enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.